Mayor Brandon Kelleher in studio, and brought a special guest, Vaughn Fehrenbrook. Is that right?
Yes, sir. You got it right. First
All
try.
Right. All
got
right.
The name right.
Hey, nailed it. That's starting well. The headline out of the meeting last night was the same one that's kind of been headlining for the past three meetings about the TIF for Newberry Village, the mobile home development, and the council getting to decide whether tax increment financing is going to be involved in what they're calling the city's first new mobile home park in 55 years. And the council voted last night 5-3 to give approval in the TIF aid, which would amount to $1.27 million. What was the opposition centered around?
Regarding this project?
Yeah, regarding maybe not so much the project. Is the opposition, I mean, the headline suggests the opposition is against the TIF, tax increment financing, helping out with it. But is it more towards the project itself, or?
Based on the comments in the last couple of city council meetings surrounding this project, we've got some people who don't like the idea of adding something that looks like a mobile home park to the community, although this okay. really is not what you would call a traditional mobile home park. They're manufactured homes that are set on a metal frame.
Single-wide
yeah.
manufactured
and,
homes.
And, I mean, clearly mm-hmm. there'll be some visual similarities, but it's not the same kind of thing. It's the same quality of manufacturing okay. that you see on Mulligan Meadows, which is the neighborhood that's being put in okay. out there near Madison Junior High. So there's that distinction. But some people just don't like the idea that a mobile home park might appear. And so okay. there's been opposition around that. And then... Okay. Tax increment financing has historically been kind of a contentious issue in North Platte, and since we've had a lot of development here lately, I think some people are starting to get concerned about the taxes associated with tax increment financing.
And so they're worried it's going to raise people's taxes?
Well, that really wouldn't happen with tax increment financing.
That's what I thought.
But there was so much misinformation and misunderstanding for years in North Platte, and you weren't around here at that time, Corey, yeah. that a lot of people have a generic understanding of how TIF works, but they don't really understand the intricacies and where the numbers go and things like that. Mm-hmm. I say that based on the people that make comments to me directly. You know, obviously, I haven't gone out and interviewed 24,000 people in North Platte to understand what all they know. But based on the comments that I hear from people, and even some that were spoken in the city council meeting, you can see that many people have kind of an understanding of how increment financing works, but not a complete understanding of it. And mm-hmm. what a lot of people, I think, walk out of city council meetings or listening to what happens, and they think, well, we approved TIF, so tomorrow the city writes a developer a check. And that's absolutely not the case. The only revenue that developers receive from TIF is the increment that they create from their development. And that's done through the increase in their taxes, which they pay, and some of it is then refunded to them. That's the simple version of how it works.
So no money out of the city's coffers, basically?
Nope. Nothing out of the city's coffers.
Okay.
Yep.
And that's what I thought, and I was thinking, why would people be opposed to it? But you suggested, and it kind of seems like it's more tilted towards the look of another mobile home park.
Well, I think we had both issues that were brought up in various city council meetings. Mm-hmm. And I do think that, you know, think about our current financial situation in our country. Gas prices are going up. We're undergoing elevating inflation. Interest rates are going up to try to address the inflation. I mean, to the average yeah. consumer, everything is getting more expensive. So it's perfectly understandable why people would be very cognizant about anything they perceive that could cause a tax increase.
Right.
I mean, I completely understand why yeah. people are concerned. There's no yeah. reason not to be. But you have to balance the issues of taxation with the issues of growth. You cannot cut your way to prosperity. It does not work. You have to grow to prosperity.
Yeah.
That's just a fact. That's an economic fact.
And it's, you know, this town needs more housing because we're creating more jobs.
Yeah. We do need some more housing. And the reason that I was in favor of this particular project is because it provides housing at a price point that we've not been able to really create housing at that price point in our community.
More affordable housing.
More affordable housing setup. Yep. And you can, you know, affordable is relative to how much money you make. Yep. If you don't make very much money, nothing is affordable. If you make a lot of money, affordability really isn't an issue for you. And if right. you're somewhere in between, like almost all of us are, affordability is a relative term. But we have lots. We have a reasonable number of houses that are in that $300,000 to $400,000 range. We have a few that are in the $250,000 to $260,000 range, and they sell very quickly when they come up on the market. And almost anything under $200,000, if and when it becomes available in the market, it's purchased by cash by people who are landlords. And you know, we have some people in town that own 200 and 300 homes in their stock of homes. Well, if you're a first time home buyer, you're probably not buying a $400,000 home
probably
as your first
not.
Home. I mean, Vaughn, was your first home a $400,000 home? I know mine wasn't.
So. Man, I looked at them online, but nope, it was not.
Exactly. So most of us, when we start out buying homes, we're not nowhere near that market. So to help people get rooted in the community and have a great home, you got to have something in that space that they could afford. And this was our best shot at it right now.
So the council voted 5-3 on that for the development, but there's another step that needs to take place, it sounds like, from the article about a future community redevelopment authority.
Yeah, the CRA is the the governmental entity that actually completes the tax increment financing process, and they finalize the contract, and they monitor the status of TIF projects. So the CRA will convene usually within the next 2 to 3 weeks to work with the developer and the developer's attorneys to finalize the development agreement. And the process is that when TIF project is proposed, the CRA refers it to the Planning Commission, the City Council, to make sure it's legally okay, and does the council approve of the project and all that sort of thing. And then the final agreement status goes to the CRA. So how we generally handle that is the council provides input on what they want to see in the contract to the CRA, and then the CRA works with the developer to include those items in the contract.
Okay. It gets down to the nitty-gritty details.
That's correct.
On it then. And then once that is signed by both parties, then they can go ahead with the development then?
Correct. Yep. They can proceed.
So should we expect to start to see development going up?
I would imagine before the end of the summer, we'll start seeing construction occurring out there. They have to put in roads, power, sewer, all that sort of stuff. So I wouldn't imagine we'd see any kind of a home out there until sometime in the fall, but I don't know the exact timeline. It's somewhat on the developers to do those things.
Okay. Well, that'll be interesting. And what area is that again?
That is the area on East Phillip that is basically between Bicentennial and Newberry Access. Okay. Generally, it's that big field out there.
Okay.
This particular project, one kind of interesting twist that we've not seen in North Platte before, and that's the fact that the development land itself will continue to be owned by the developer or chief in this case, and then the individual homes will be owned by the homeowners. And this is the same kind of scenario we see at the Lake Maloney in North Platte, where NPPD owns all the land that's immediately around the lake, but people own the homes that sit on the land, and they, in essence, lease the land.
They lease it,
Same sort of scenario in this particular setup, and which caused quite a few questions to Mrs. Stinger, our assessor, and we appreciate her fielding our numerous calls and emails and to understand exactly how the taxation works. And so the tax increment financing on this one will be linked to the land itself, but not the value of the homes. So when a homeowner receives their real property tax bill at the end of the year for a home on this piece of property, that taxation will be fed directly to the taxing entities, the school, the city, the county, et cetera, just like any other, like my home and Vaughn's home and everybody else's homes in town. The only increment that can be gained by chief is on the land itself. So the value proposition is relatively small, which is why it's a pretty small TIF ask relative to mm-hmm. what TIF projects are. I think the number that was cited last night was that Chief will invest somewhere between $12 and $13 million in order to make that whole area usable, but they're requesting about, you know, not quite 10% of it as a TIF increment mm-hmm. to make the project work.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm glad we got that decided. So, as far as the council's role in that, that last night was the final action you'll be taking with that,
and that's correct.
Be dealing with that in any form from now on. It goes to the CRA.
Yeah, it goes to the CRA, and then once the project begins, then it goes into monitoring.
So. Okay. All right. Good deal. You also dealt with amending a proposed ordinance forbidding pedestrians from lingering on traffic medians, and that ended up in a vote to table a first-round vote. Some concerns about that, or just want more information on it? Or
well, I think we need to adjust the language of the ordinance a little bit is really what it comes down to. So Councilman Vols, the way the ordinance was written, it was to apply to streets above that have a speed limit above 25 miles per hour, which is a relatively small number of streets in North Platte. Councilman Vols motioned it to be inclusive of 25 miles an hour, which then included most of the streets in North Platte, not quite all, but most of them. Well, then there's also a provision that talks about where people can stand in regards to the corners of when two streets meet. And in essence, the way that the description would lead you to believe that you couldn't stand within 100 feet of the corner of any street. That's definitely not what the city was intending to do. This is about safety. This is about people not standing in the middle of the streets.
Right.
But the ordinance was originally designed for much wider streets with higher speed traffic in them that are usually larger, and that 100 feet becomes irrelevant because of the width of the street. But it, with Councilman Vol's motion, it then changed the dynamics. And so I think it was Councilman Lucas that said, let's table this and sort of reevaluate what we want to accomplish here, which has to do solely with safety and not getting people hit. If you watch the meeting, you see I spent about 2 minutes reading all the statistics from various entities on how many pedestrians are hit because they're in the middle of the streets and things like that. And so we want to try to avoid exactly that issue. So I would imagine what will happen is we'll refine how the ordinance is written, and then we'll bring it back in on June 16th.
16th would be the next one. Other things last night from the meeting, you gave 8-0 final approval to an ordinance rezoning two lots near East Francis Street and Bryan Avenue to B2 Highway Commercial, and another one south of Francis on Tabor Avenue to R3 Residential.
Mm-hmm. This is the third reading of that ordinance. We've talked about it the last couple times we've met, and this is a property owner who's working on a couple different business plans, and this is property that crosses the new part of Francis Street and Bryan Street on the kind of on the east side of town there.
Okay. You accepted certificates of completion on recently paved portions of West 15th Street and Custer Avenue and a sanitary sewer line east of Buffalo Bill Avenue from north of Spring Road to West State Farm Road.
Right. Part of the construction process is to accept a certificate of completion for anything that involves municipality construction of infrastructure and that sort of thing. And so we just did that on the improvement district as you described, West 15th Street, which was a CDBG project. We paved a couple of blocks up there that were gravel streets, and we converted them into paved streets, which is great. And then the other certificate had to do with a sanitary sewer that was put in to support the Ott's Marine Boat Shop out there in the southwest part of town, roughly across from Powell's. The neighbors in that area will be able to connect into that sewer at a cost if they choose to in the future. Some of them mentioned in passing that their sanitary sewer systems that they have on site are starting to age, and so they might appreciate the opportunity to connect at some point in the future, and so they'll have that opportunity should they decide to.
Okay. And you held a non-voting work session for a presentation of the city's 2425 audit report.
Yes, the audit report is an annual event that we do. We always hold a work session so that the public can watch and view. We had a few members of the public come and sit in there, but it was mostly city staff, and the official auditor comes out. She does a delightful job of talking through not only the audit report, but she does a nice summary of the various ratios that are important to cities and compares us. And I asked her at the end, I said, most of us don't deal with the numbers and the millions of dollars on our daily jobs. And so could you give us just sort of a standard person's view of how we're doing? And so at the end, she basically said, you're doing well, you're adding debt, which we are, but we're still rated in the excellent category as of this year. And the debt is associated with basically the rec center project, which we all knew the people voted on that, and then also the industrial sewer plant that Sustainable Beef is paying for. And council had a couple questions on that process, but generally that was about it. And the good news is that the city's in a pretty good financial position right now and has been for years.
You like hearing that, for sure. And you approved the request for a one-time event to discharge fireworks on June 30th at that previously mentioned event that I mentioned at the top of the show for the North Platte 80s baseball game on that date. And you got the option of shooting them off at 9:30 or 10 p.m.,
We actually amended that to make it prior to 11 because there happens to be a doubleheader that day, and we thought that game might be running a little later, and so we wanted
give them more leeway.
Yeah, exactly. Should it happen that the game is still running at that time, they'll pause the game and do the fireworks and go on with the game after that. But it's going to be quite a show. We have a local gentleman, Dr. Hunter Allen, who's moved to town here in the last year and a half, and he is a licensed electronic pyrotechnician, I think is the correct term, and he's really, really excited about doing this show. He happened to catch me on the sidewalk the other day, and he had on his cell phone kind of a program he uses to actually design the fireworks show, and so he had kind of a view of it running on his phone, and let me tell you, it's going to be something worth seeing. And I understand that he is also working with the Optimist to do the July 4th show, so I highly encourage people to get out there on July 4th and see that show at the fairgrounds. It's going to be impressive.
That'll be good, for sure. And that one at the ballpark on June 30th, they set up the display in the softball fields behind Bill Wood Field. So that'll be the viewpoint. Which direction is that from, like, if you're sitting in the park, is that?
If you're sitting in Billwood Field, you'll be able to look out in the outfield and see the fireworks.
So it's to the south of the...
Yeah, and be to the south of the grandstands of Billwood Field.
That's great. So, hopefully a clear night, and everyone will be happy.
I hope so. I've been trying to get baseball, apple pie, and fireworks, the most American things I could think of, at the same event for almost 6 years now, and we're finally going to do it, so...
All right. Well, let's bring Vaughn in. The reason you asked him to stop by was to highlight the mayor's prayer breakfast. It is happening 2 weeks from tomorrow on the 18th.
That's
during
right.
During the beginning, the second day of Nebraska Land Days, officially, I guess, huh?
Yes, it's an annual event that is a long tradition in North Platte. I know it started somewhere in the 80s, I believe, from my research, but I might be wrong about that. But it's something that I think many mayors have continued to do throughout the years, and it's important to me. It's a good thing to remind, to ground and center ourselves during celebration or any other time of the year, but it's just fun to come together with people, and we always have an interesting presenter that talks about their experience with faith and things like that. So
you're not promoting a specific faith or religion necessarily. Yeah. We're just trying to unite and say we need God, basically. And Vaughn probably can talk about that.
Yeah, we'll let Vaughn handle that question. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
So how do you see this as an opportunity? It's not stuffing religion down people's throat or anything like that.
No, I think it's coming around just a commonality. You know, every individual here in town wants to see humanity flourish. And I think we just want to recognize that, hey, we're here to help out just the common neighbor that's right next to us. And Mayor's Prayer Breakfast is a great time just to see who's working behind the scenes of a couple weeks that's very celebratory. A lot of great things are happening. And so with this event, people are able to come here, and you have everyone from the Rodeo Queens to the NLD Cowboys and Posse, Mayor and some other local figureheads, but also quite a people who are maybe you don't exactly see on a platform or on a screen, and come and be a part of that.
Good. Yeah. I, so often, I, and with some of events, people don't like getting together. But I think in the smaller communities, it's always good. You don't have to get into the nitty-gritty of what exactly you believe or anything, but as a community coming together and just expressing, you know, we need faith. We need God. We need to center our lives around faith, and for a lot of people, that's what motivates them and informs them on how they live their lives.
Yeah, exactly. I think you said it right. Faith and hope is some of the major fuels for just humanity in general. And this is just one of those moments. And so we host this, and we're lucky to be in a town, in a city that the mayor allows this to happen. And so we come together, and we have some delicious breakfast, and we get to hear from Senator Mike Jacobson, who's going to be sharing about a little about his faith, his background, and hopefully some really cool stories about his grandchildren. And so we invite everybody, not just if you're in a business or a part of NLD, but if you're just, hey, I've got some time that morning, it starts at 7 o'clock, we invite you to come out and just join us.
Yeah. On and Thursday the 18th.
Yeah, we're always. Oh, I'm sorry, Corey. We're done by 8 all the time.
Yeah, so. Just wanted to just reiterate that at Venue 304, 2 weeks from tomorrow on the 18th there. So mark that down on your calendar. I'll see if I can hightail it in a little bit earlier.
Yeah, you're welcome to come
that day. What do they have? They have some rolls and
well, we always have a bunch of donuts from our two main donut manufacturers here in North Platte, and then we've got a great catering by one of the local caterers they've done the last couple of years, and they have breakfast casserole and various things, you know, the kind of the standard casserole. Breakfast things. It's very good. I enjoy it very much. And coffee and juice, of course.
You won't leave hungry. Let's put that's it right. that way, sure. right?
And it's a really wonderful event. I'm happy that we've. The volunteers that help make it happen, it's entirely a non-effort from local nonprofits and churches and to make this event happen. And we strive to make enough money to make sure that we can have it again next year. Yep. That's really all we do. And it is quite a wonderful tradition and something to think about. You know, in our world right now, it's difficult to know who or what to trust. And it has a lot to do with social media and all the things that we've been through as a people in the last 5 or 6 or 7 years. And this is a place you can come, you can see people face to face, you can ask them questions, you can hear what they're about, and it's just a wonderful environment to be in.
Yeah, we need more things like this too that bring people together. And although you may differ on some finer things, I think the majority of people still in this day and age agree that you need to be grounded in something bigger than yourself. So.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you both, the mayor, Brandon Kelleher, and Vaughn Farrenbrook. You're with the Rock Church?
Yeah. Yep. I have the privilege of leading the Rock Church right over there by Fresh Foods.
All right. So, and I'm sure you have a website online if they want to check you out.
Yeah, therocknp.com, on Facebook, Instagram, all those fun socials.
Yeah, right. Without the controversy, right?
Yeah.
Not spreading rumors, huh?
No rumors.
That's good to hear. Thank you for stopping by the show this morning, and we'll catch up with you in a couple weeks.
Thank you. We'll be back in a couple weeks.